I'd like to ask Vice President Avijit Ghosh to present a report on the operating budget for fiscal year 2020.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the May board meeting, the board approved the provisional budget for the operating budget for the fiscal year 2020. Since then, the state approved its fiscal year 2020 budget and including its appropriation to the university. Today, we seek the board's approval of the university system final operating budget for fiscal year 2020. Mr. Chairman, I don't have a video, but I have a short presentation to highlight the salient features of this budget. Starting with the top line, our overall budget for proposed budget for 2020 is $6.97 billion, which is $141 million or 2.1% higher than last year. It is important to note that this total includes the value of the health and pension benefit payments made by the state that is allocated to the university. This budget is a consolidation of budgets prepared and developed by individual colleges and units. It is developed from the bottom up within the context of the legislative guidelines and state financial guidelines but it is driven by our institutional priorities. It incorporates no tuition increase for in-state undergraduate students, which you have heard before. At the same time, it allocates resources for investments in priorities such as growing our faculty strength and increasing support for student scholarship. In addition, the budget explicitly allocates funds for necessary capital construction and debt service payments. The overall operating budget is really structured around four categories of funds. The largest category is the general operating fund, which supports our instructional and core academic activities. Revenues from tuition payments and appropriation from the state support our main support for this category. This fund is projected to grow by 5.2%. It should be noted that the Chicago's general fund is expected to grow by 8.7% due to the absorption of the John Marshall Law School, now Chicago's first and only public law school. This year's budget also segregates the activities of the hospital into a separate hospital fund. The third category is comprised of restricted budgets that are available only for expenses that is specified by the gifts or the contracts generating those funds. Examples of activities including in this category are sponsored programs, auxiliary facilities such as dining and residential services, and activities supported by gifts and endowment income. The total for the restricted fund is approximately $2 billion, up 1.1% from last year. The final category represents the value of the benefits paid by the state on behalf of the university. That total is estimated as $1.7 billion, which is a decline of 3% from last year. It is important to note that the annual payment on behalf value allocated to the university does not represent the actual cost of the annual benefits, but the amount of funds to be appropriated by the state, which also includes unpaid past payments and other actual adjustments. Thus, it is for the purpose of comparing the annual change in the university's revenue, it is instructive to look at the total budget without the payments on behalf. This is the revenue, $5.254 billion, is the revenue that is really generated by the university and control and support the direct operations of the university. And this number is up by almost $200 million or 3.8% compared to last year. This slide shows the growth in few of the major revenue sources. As we are all aware, there was a robust 4.7% growth in state appropriation this year. And despite the in-state undergraduate tuition freeze for a fifth year in a row, we project a 3.5% growth in total tuition revenue, mainly due to the enrollment growth. This table shows the revenue supporting the general operating fund. As you can see, the tuition is the largest contributor to the general operating fund. It comprises 57% of the general operating fund, and the state appropriation provides 25% of the general appropriating fund. And then if we look at the restricted fund, sponsored program accounts for 37%, and auxiliary activities like residence halls account for 39%. I should note that the hospital fund, which is separated, shown separately, is also a restricted fund. One of the strengths of the university's finances is the diversity of its revenue sources. This chart shows the distribution of total revenue, not including the payments on behalf, by the different revenue sources. As shown here, no single source of revenue accounts for more than 25%. Tuition is the largest source of our budget, accounting for exactly 25% of the total. The hospital and the physician service plans combined account for another 20% of the budget, sponsored programs 15%, and the state appropriation contributes about 12% of our overall budget. This next graph shows our budget by the different units, the distribution of the revenues across the three universities. Urbana has 45.2% of the budget, Springfield 1.7%, UIC 33.4%, but combined with the hospital represents 49.4% of the hospital, of the budget. And the system office and the system-wide programs total comprise about 3.7%. This next graph shows the distribution of tuition revenue by the different universities. As noted earlier, total tuition and fee revenues expected to grow by 3.7% and reach $1.327 billion. As noted earlier, because of the inclusion of the John Marshall Law School, as well as enrollment increases, UIC's tuition revenue is expected to grow by 10%. Looking at the expense side, salaries and benefits continue to be the biggest source of expenses. Projected total of fiscal year 20 is $2.7 billion, an increase of 4% due to salary adjustments as well as additional manpower to accommodate growth in student enrollment. Note that this total does not include benefit costs paid by the state, but does include the portion of the cost borne directly by the university. Some of the other major categories of expenses, besides salaries and benefits, supply and services and equipment is the largest source of expenses, and scholarships, utilities, as well as capital expenses. Another way of looking at our expenditure is to look at expenditure by function. In defining the functional categories shown here, we have followed the convention developed by the National Association of College and University Business Officers in looking at expenses by different functions. It is important to note that expenditure in instruction increased from 19.1% in FY19 to 19.8% in FY20. And we project research expenditures to increase from 14.5% to 15.3%, focusing on our mission. Now, we have had a stable budget now for a couple of years after a few years of very difficult times. And it's important that we keep looking at the future and looking towards continued stable funding from the state, as well as continued enrollment and tuition growth, and to maintaining our fundraising momentum to keep our stable budget. At the same time, we have to focus on our expenses and controlling our expenses to make sure that we have the flexibility to invest in our institutional priorities. Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Dr. Ghosh? Thank you, Vijay.
Thank you.
Good presentation.